That was half-hearted. If it is, wonderful. We're going to give it a boost tonight. If it's not, this is the night it gets jolted. This parable that we just heard, and I read the long version so that you would have the explanation as well. So we're just going to jump right into the heart of it. Where did you see yourself in the parable? Are you the path? The rocky soil? The thorns and the bushes choking it out? Or are you the rich soil, producing abundant fruit, 30, 60, or 100 fold? That's what we're called to bear abundant fruit. But I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life where I have felt stuck in my spiritual growth. And it's like, I have all these opportunities for education, formation, going on retreats. Why are you not seeing the halo on my head yet? What does it take to grow? And so many years ago, shortly after I was ordained, I started studying healing and deliverance ministry because I wanted to be able to help those people who came to me who were hurting. But in the process, I learned a lot in regard to some of the struggles in my own life. And I know sometimes when you talk about healing and deliverance, people start conjuring up images like the Exorcist movie. That's not what I'm talking about. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, the last line, and deliver us from evil, amen. The day-to-day things that you and I are confronted with that lead us away from God, we want to be delivered from evil, delivered for God, for Jesus. And so that's what I'm talking about. But in 2003, I read a book by Neil Lozano called Unbound. And then in 2009, he wrote another book called Resisting the Devil. And obviously, the first one is a rather large book, but he condenses it down into a five-step process that I want to share with you tonight because I have found it helpful in my own life. And so if you've got any area in your life that you kind of feel stuck, you go to confession once a month or so and you find yourself confessing the same sin over and over every month, month after month, year after year, dare I say, decade after decade. If we're trapped in that bondage of sin, how do we get out of it? So step number one, repentance and faith. We have to be sorry for our sins. If we have grown complacent and comfortable with sin in our life, we have a huge problem. And that repentance, you may remember from your catechism days, perfect contrition or imperfect contrition. Imperfect contrition, I'm sorry for my sins because I'm scared of the consequences. Perfect contrition, I'm sorry for my sins because I've offended Almighty God. We want to be moving toward that perfect contrition in our lives. And so the second part of that is faith. When we are baptized, we are infused with the gift of faith. But then throughout our lives, we are called to nurture that faith, to be good soil so that the seed of faith, the seed of God's love can take root in our lives and we bear fruit. Now we could spend an hour dissecting the gift of faith in and of itself, but for brevity tonight, I would simply ask you this one question. If you would evaluate your faith life based upon your prayer life, would you say that your faith life is doing pretty well? Is prayer a priority in our lives? Now, once again, prayer is going to look differently for us depending upon what stage of the life cycle we're in. Older folks like myself who have empty nest, if we've retired from work, we may have more time. My prayer life better look different than the young parents with three or four kids running around the house and at night they simply collapse into bed and they say, thank you, God, for letting me survive another day. Give me the strength to do it again tomorrow. That's prayer that's fitting for them. That's not prayer fitting for me at this stage of my life. But overall, regardless of the stage of life that you are in, is prayer a priority? Because that says something about your faith life. So step number one, repentance and faith. Step number two, forgiveness. If we are holding on to unforgiveness, that is an obstacle to God's grace working in us and through us. Once again, turn to the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you're holding a grudge, what have you just prayed? My dear people, I understand that some of you may have been hurt deeply by someone. I did an hour-long presentation on this topic in a retreat one time, and somebody come up to me at the break and they said, you just don't understand how deeply I've been hurt and you want me to forgive that individual. My first job out of college was as a police officer in St. Louis County, Missouri, in one of the roughest areas that there was. If you worked the evening shift or the night shift, the majority of your calls were for domestic disturbances. I can't tell you how many houses I went into and people who thought enough of each other at one time to either get married or to live together, and I go in and they're fighting so much that the neighbors call the police and I go in and pull out guns and knives from them. They are trying to inflict the ultimate harm on one another. I understand there are wicked people who do horrendous things, but my dear people, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's what we're called to. And if we're holding on to unforgiveness, we continue to be victimized by whatever has happened in our lives. It's not an easy step, but if you're holding on to unforgiveness, tonight's the night. I invite you and I beg you, begin that healing process and move toward that forgiveness. So step one, repentance and faith. Step two, forgiveness. Step number three, renunciation. There are things in our lives that are not compatible with the love of God, and we need to renounce those things. So some of these things came into our life. We opened these entryways to the evil one because of choices we made. Could be, okay, you looked at pornography, now the spirit of lust is in your life. You stole something, now the spirit of greed or spirit of envy because somebody had something that you didn't have and you wanted it. All kinds of ways the entryway to the evil one comes into our lives. We have to renounce them things. And so also sometimes circumstances beyond our control impact our lives and the entryway for evil is there. If you grew up in a dysfunctional home where there was a lot of abuse, where there was verbal abuse, physical abuse, maybe there was alcoholism, maybe there was drug addiction, all kinds of possibilities. Maybe one of your parents walked out and never came back. You might have the fear of rejection, the fear of abandonment, these types of things that the evil one then whispers, you're not worthy. And that's a lie. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are God's children. And so we renounce those things. So step one, repentance and faith. Step two, forgiveness. Step three, renunciation. Step number four, authority. The authority comes from Jesus. The gospel is the good news, and we don't just read the scripture readings, we proclaim the gospels and the first and second reading because there is power in God's word. And what is God's word? It's the eternal word made flesh, Jesus Christ. That is where our power comes from. And so we take authority over those things that we cast out of our lives. So if I'm casting out the spirit of fear, the spirit of rejection, the spirit of greed, the spirit of lust, whatever it is, I do it in the name of Jesus. Now, I've laid the framework for step number five. So number one, repentance and faith. Step two, forgiveness. Step three, renunciation. Step four, authority. Step five, the Father's blessing. When we have rooted out the things that are not compatible with God's love, we are open then to the movement of God's grace in our life in a powerful way. Picture yourself soaking in every ounce of God's love in every fiber of your being. Picture yourself as a sponge soaking it in, because that's how much you are loved. How much are you loved? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Do you believe it or do you not? Because if we believe it, there should be power in our lives, because we share in the divine life of Jesus Christ. St. Paul says it 216 times in one way or another, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If Christ is living in me, it has to make a difference, folks. Can you imagine what our individual families would look like if we started living like we really believe in the power of Jesus in our lives? Can you imagine what St. Elizabeth Ann Seton would look like if all of us here in this church right here, right now, started living in that power of Jesus? Can you imagine what Fort Collins and all of Larimer County would look like if our whole parish started living with the power of Jesus alive and well in our hearts? It would transform not only our area, it would have a ripple effect across the world, because that's the power of Jesus. My friends, when we read the scripture readings and we look at Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead to life, multiplying the loaves and fishes and on, how can we be a church that is not a church of power? We've allowed ourselves to go complacent and apathetic at times, to bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. We have to come alive. And tonight's the night that I invite you to do just that. Begin that healing process. And so as we get ready to profess our faith and go through the Eucharistic prayer and receive our Lord in Holy Communion, let us open ourselves to the movement of God's grace. And so before I close, I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but I've been praying for you all week. Right now, I want to pray for you, but with you as well. Oh, good and gracious God, we come before you tonight after just hearing the parable of the seed. And you know where each of us is located in that parable, and we just ask you to meet us at the point of your need. Fill our hearts with your love. If there is any unrepentance in our lives, make us aware of that. If there is any unforgiveness in our lives, make us aware of that and help us to gain the strength to offer forgiveness. Anything that is in our hearts that is not of you, O Lord, we just ask that you cast it out in your authority. And finally, we just ask that you fill us with the Father's blessing. We give you thanks and praise, and then at the end of Mass, when we are sent forth to glorify you by our lives, give us the strength and the courage to do that each and every day of our lives. We ask this through your Son in the power of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.